Blog Talk Radio.
Thank God, everyone, here on Send Forth Your Word Radio Ministry. I was letting you listen to a video that I surfaced off YouTube under Moloch, God of Destruction. And today we're going to be talking in reference to the spirit of abortion. And I'm excited to be back in the studio today. I'm your host, Sister Keisha, here on Send Forth, for those who have tuned in over the years. And we are getting ready to go into this topic. It is a very, very touchy topic for many people in this day and time, but we must deal with the issue that is going on in our world, and we have to sometimes take one topic at a time so that everyone who needs to hear, who has ears to hear, shall hear what the word of the Lord is saying to us in this day and time. And so I want to tap into the roots of abortion. I want to talk about the child sacrifice that has happened over the centuries. And it's not new, but we have to deal with these issues because there are some very harsh judgments that come to the people when they are sacrificing their children to these gods. And so we're going to get into that shortly. For those who are new here on Send Forth Your Word, I want to thank you for dropping in today to listen into this message. And I hope that you are given information that you can take and study and go before the Lord your God, which, you know, can help you gain a greater understanding. If you're, and I'm going to be very clear, you know, we here believe in the Lord Almighty, and we believe in Christ, our Lord and Savior. We believe in Yeshua, HaMashiach. We believe in El Shaddai, Abi, our God. We praise Him because we know that Abba is great to His people, and He is faithful. He loves His children. And all this year, I keep running across scriptures that has to do with the righteous. And I've been telling of my siblings that, you know, the Lord has already named His people, and He says it in His word, the righteous will not be forsaken. And so we, if we are true believers and brothers and sisters of the faith, we will understand that we cannot do whatever we want and think that Abba is going to be okay with that. We must pay attention to the signs and wonders of this time to see where we may have fell under our own form of judgment and responsibility, because the Bible clearly states that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so we must get our heads right, people, today, and begin to, you know, look at the real root cause behind some of our actions. And even if we're not aware, that is why the Lord has given us the internet, online passage. There's tons and tons of information. Now, I would not say everything is at its clear accuracy, depending on what you're looking for. But if you have the spirit of discernment, and you've been reading the Word of God, you've been staying focused, the Holy Spirit will guide and lead you to all truth. And so that's what we rely on through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is such a great friend, and I am so grateful that I have the Holy Spirit to guide and lead me, because that is what we need in these days that we're approaching here. And so I'm so grateful to be back here before the end of the year, which we are right there at the pivotal point of crossing into a new year. And I hope you, our friends and listeners, will take heed to this message, because it is so important that you recognize that there is a blood that is crying out. And I really felt the need to come and do this message, mainly because it is through the spirit of abortion where a lot of men and women have either lost their life or have suffered great sickness, diseases, problems throughout their lives, and could never really get to the root of what is going on. So we're going to be talking about that today as well. And I want to tell you and share with you, our friends and listeners, that repentance is the key. We must repent for our sins. So if you have your Bible, your smartphone, your iPad, before we get into the Word today on the spirit of abortion, I would like to go in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come today, Lord God, we thank you, Lord God. We know that you are the God of truth. We know you love your people, the righteous. We know that you care deeply for those who you have ordained in this day and in this season, your remnant of people, those who have been being watched, men and women of the faith, those who have spoke the truth into the lives of others, those who have studied your word and have tried to follow and live by your commandments. And so we thank you, Lord God, that you have continued to increase our faith, our knowledge, our understanding, because your word says in all of our getting, get an understanding. So we thank you for this word today. We thank you for this message. We thank you for the viewers, the listeners, those who will tune in, whether they tune in today while we're live on the air or once the show has already ended. But we pray that it will not fall. This word will not fall on any stony ground, that the hearts of men and women will begin to recognize their sin and repent and be saved. So we praise you and give you glory and honor and thanks in this day and forevermore. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, friends and listeners, for tuning in. I've had this message for some time. And, you know, when I get a message, I really don't like to just jump in and give it unless the Lord gives me the right to do that, because, you know, I find that if I do it too soon, I might not gather every information that I could have used, because I'm here to deliver. I'm here to teach you what has been given to me. And I believe that the messages that I've given over the years have been very influential. People have told me themselves they really enjoyed the information, and they believe that the Lord has given them that information, that insight, so that they can change their lives and correct things in their lives. And so when we talk about the spirit of abortion, we must go back to the scriptures, friends. We must pay attention at what God is trying to say in this day and in this hour to his people, and how that we have a responsibility as a believer to recognize that we are all going to have to face some type of judgment. You know, we're all going to have to face some type of, you know, judgment when it comes to our sins. And so the Word of God is urging us to repent, and that we must understand what sins we may have fell under. And if we are not considered blameless, we are in trouble, okay? But there is help on the way, on the horizon, because it is through God's word is how we recognize what we can do as men and women, as children of faith, brothers and sisters. We have to go back to the word and see if this word is applicable for us in our personal lives. And so what I believe that the spirit worship has given to me, you know, that has been based on the shed of innocent blood, you know. And when a person sheds innocent blood, it is considered one of the, what we call an abomination unto the Lord, you know. And I'm going to be sharing a few scriptures today. I began to talk in reference to the spirit of abortion, okay? And I want you to stay with me because I want to kind of stick to what the scripture says in regards to, you know, God will not hold any blameless for the death of innocent blood, you know, and that's so important, friends and listeners, here today on Send Forth, you know, when a person defines the word of God as they suffer a curse, because the Bible is clear. It says, if you do this, I will bless you. If you do that, I will curse you. It's very clear. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord says he will deliver them from the law. And I believe, my friend, that when we talk about the afflictions, it's coming because of the disobedience, okay? And so in Psalms 10, 8, it says, you know, in the secret place, you will see murder the innocent, okay? And who is the innocent? You know, we want to make sure we're clear. Innocent could be a number of people who were set up, people who didn't know that they had walked into a crossfire, someone who actually had no idea that someone was plotting for their evil, for evil against them, to kill them, to abort them. And when it comes to, you know, the meaning of abortion, it's basically, you know, it's causing an induced labor for a child who is not yet fully developed, you know, a fetus. And then it also comes together with the ideal principle of making a conscious decision to do that, being that you were given that opportunity, that gift from God to explore the life and to bring life here. And he had entrusted you with that to bring forth life through your body. And when a woman actually decides that she is no longer going to accept that gift, she immediately falls under a curse, because the blessings of God is with her when he blesses you with a gift. That's just plain and simple. You know, if someone gives you a gift and it's a good gift, you know, it's going to bless your life. You're going to bless that life. But there is times where, you know, people have things that need that people. And so that's kind of the mindset that many people have began to adapt over the centuries, not the years, the centuries. And they didn't realize that when they were shedding innocent blood, they were making a sacrifice unto gods that dealt with child sacrifices. And these are important lessons that as we begin to recognize by reading and going throughout the scriptures, that God hates those who shed innocent blood. So whether it's their sons or daughters, it is that blood becomes polluted throughout the land. And, you know, when I say that he hates, because there is six things that you know, we always read in the scripture that God hates, but one of the scriptures that we forget to recognize is the hand that sheds innocent blood. And so many people, they run really quickly to evil, but when they get in compromising situations, but they don't realize there's a root. And the root is that God warns us before time that we are supposed to stay away from different types of sins, because he knows that those kinds of sins will bring forth greater judgment upon the person who finds themselves participating in the act of the sin. And so I've watched over the years and seen many people, including myself, suffer harsh judgments because of my own disobedience, their disobedience. And when the Lord said, well, I want you to go back and see why you are suffering this thing, I began to recognize for myself, I guess I was in the wrong. I had messed up with God. I had got out of right standing with him. So the only thing that I could receive was the opposite side of the blessing, and it would be really the curse. And it wasn't something that I wanted, of course, that I really always understood or knew that it was going to follow it, because I wasn't really taught like that, you know. In my home, my mom did teach us about the Lord, how we should repent and how we should ask for forgiveness, but I didn't understand why always. And I'm going to be very honest with you. Many of you that may hear this may say the same thing. And as I began to grow and mature into a woman, I began to make decisions from my own intellect without really doing proper research and understanding what curses or judgments or consequences were going to follow those actions. And so that is why when we talk about today's topic, we realize many women have fell under the same judgment. And so many women are not fully aware that they are being punished or they are under a extreme judgment over their life because they did not follow through with God's perfect plan for their life. And they're wondering why they haven't found love, why they are not married, why they can't be married. Because when you interrupt the plan of God, you only are unable to get what's next. It's not going to be the perfect will of God. Now, it may be the permissive will, because now you've entered into a whole nother realm and you kind of open the door for other things to come. And so when women participate in early years of fornication and having sex before marriage and trying out things, most women, if they're fertile women, they probably will get pregnant, you know. And if they are not ready for that kind of responsibility, they will seek other means to resolve an issue that is really supposed to have been a blessing for her, but she didn't follow through. And so that is why she has become cursed by her own actions and decisions that were made, whether it was by her parents or by her pastor or people who, you know, had kind of shown her, which I know it's kind of weird to say pastor, because you would think that a pastor would guide them by the scripture, because some people have went to people and counseled with religious people, if you get where I'm going, and they found out after leaving some of the information they were given was unfortunately not correct. And they may have even misinterpreted what their pastors had said or their religious leaders had told them to do. Because ultimately, my friend, the decision is yours. And even though you may counsel with many people about what you should do, you must make that decision for yourself. And if you are a true believer, you should make it according to God's word. But see, in the beginning stage, I've heard people say, well, you know, I wasn't born that today when I made that decision. You know, I love God now. I didn't know him then. And, you know, the Lord knows you didn't know him, but you're still responsible because information and decision-making things are just what they are. Now, I will say that I believe that when you repent and you ask God to forgive you and you tell him, you know, from your heart, from a repentant heart, repentful heart, that you are not where you're at today. You know, the Lord understands that we're not perfect, my friend. So I do believe when we're in a repentful heart and we're being honest with ourselves, you know, the Lord will hear our concerns about the matter. And he also will, as the scripture said, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us for all of our sins and our transgressions and our iniquities. If we come to him and if we really, really are in a repentful state, not to do it in a sense where, oh, you know, I'm sorry, Lord, you know, I made this mistake and I'm going to just, you know, tell you I'm sorry, then you're doing it again, you know, and again. And it does take time because we have all been deceived. I always say that, you know, the world has been deceived. And it's due to the lack of information, my friend, that we've been able to gather over the years. We've not always had the internet at our hands to easily go and type in things so we can gain a greater understanding of what's going on in our lives. And some of us have been fed misinformation, whether it's through people we trusted, our parents, our loved ones, our family members. You know, we've been given information based on other people's experience and their consequences. So it can become touchy to say, you know, was I really, yeah, you were in the world because the word said you had shed an innocent blood and your hands were there, you know. You put your hands to shed it, whether you find the form to go forward. All of these are part of a sacrifice, my friend, and that's what we're getting with today, getting at today. And some of you guys have been lying about it, you know, to your spouses, have never come clean that you had an abortion, and you have a lot of strife in your marriage. You have a lot of issues going on. Some of you guys have hidden it so deep inside of you that it's almost like it never happened. But I come by today to tell you, my friend, you have to get this thing out. And you have to pray and ask for forgiveness. Because the world we're in today, you know, the Lord says that he will judge this world for their sins. And if you are caught here with unrepentant sins and you're just thinking everything's going to be okay because it was a long time ago, you never confessed it, the sin, the Lord will deal with you and he will judge you because he says it in his word. No one who sheds innocent blood will be held blameless, will not be held blameless, you know. So at this point, you know, if you've done this kind of sin, if you had an abortion, whether you were young, older, or in between, and you must go to the scriptures and begin to look at scriptures that will explain to you what was done, okay? And then I ask and urge you to repent. So I want you to take the time to do this for your own self, because I don't want to read every scripture, but I'm going to give you a few scriptures now. One is Psalms 10 and 8. Another one is in Psalms 106, verse 38. I'll give you a few more. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 and 17. Isaiah 59:7 and Jeremiah 19:4. So it's important that you recognize that all these reference more towards innocent means blameless. Those who were very innocent, and then God will not hold us blameless of these murders unless we repent, because we have to, you know, he will not cause us to be blameless unless we do not repent, you know, for these types of sin, my friend. You know, we have to go to the Lord, because the Lord says when he comes to the earth for those who are blameless, and that's going to be very, very tough for many, because some people, their life is built around everyday sin, like all of us, okay? But the difference is that a believer begins to recognize that they have sinned, and so they become more aware that the sin that they may have entered or they may be in, they need the sovereign God's help to come out of it, and they need to have the time to stay before the Lord so that they too may be free, they may be forgiven. So it is important, because when you don't ask for forgiveness, you will reap a curse. In Deuteronomy 27:25 says, "Cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person." There is a curse that will fall upon you, the person or yourself, if you do not repent. And I'm going to be very honest. Some people say, well, you know, well, even if we repent, it seems like we still have problems. Yes, because there is a consequence to the sin. It is always a consequence to a sin. And so sometimes, you know, those who fail to, with all their heart, come to the Lord and really, really, really repent of their sins, they have felt under a already harsh judgment. Some are no longer here. Some people who went and had multiple abortions cannot have children anymore. Some have very, very extreme health problems. Some people have all kinds of issues when it comes to their fertility areas. Some are not as sexual as their partners would like, because they're holding on to unforgiveness sin. They have not really repented. And when we repent, the Lord begins to mend the areas in our lives that were once broken. Why it's so important to go back and repent. Some people will say they aborted their children due to they were raped, or it was a situation where the child was going to be fatherless. But it is God who actually allows life. And so therefore we have to recognize, why was it like this for so many centuries? You know, so many people in our nation have been very guilty of the shedding of innocent blood. I say that because there is other ways to shed innocent blood daily in the United States. There's some records show that there's been multiple thousands of abortions in one day, and murders as well, capital murders, you know. Innocent blood has been shed for years and years. And God will not hold our nation guiltless. There is blood on our hands. And so we have to recognize that God is going to cause those who have been responsible for the shedding of innocent blood and those who have caused innocent people to lose their life, He is going to deal with them. And why we want to bring this to your attention today, because we want you to pay attention to the root cause of many abortions. And I'll go back now and I'll start talking to you in regards to the child sacrifice. Bella, child sacrifice. So I was reading an article and I kind of want to break it down a little bit from what I was reading in regards to the root of abortion. It says here, it says, one may question that those ancient enemies of Israel were as evil as the Bible claimed they were. But even a superficial glance at the Canaanites' religion along ably demonstrates their iniquity. Immoral sex worship was prevalent and religion, prostitution was in veil. Temple was said to be commanded. Human sacrifice was common, particularly that of infants, and it was said to be a frequent practice. Okay. I'm going to stop there for 1 second. In that day and time, and I want you to get a visual, there may not have been clinics to have abortions, but the parents of those children, they had given birth to children. And what they did, they gave them over to the fire, to those ancient gods. God Moloch, all of these gods were gods who accepted children as sacrifices. And it is important for us to recognize that the only thing that is different is the time that we're living in, the time where, you know, maybe there was a clinic, so the women had the children, but they gave those children over to the fire to burn. I mean, it's such a very terrible ideal, an image to see a child, an innocent child, being given over as a sacrifice. And when you go into the modern day world, you don't see, you know, people taking their children to the fire, which we believe there is human sacrifice, just so you know. But it's not as common as it would be. And it would be a lot of people. Everyone would be able to see it happening. And what I began to realize in doing more research on this topic, that the people who were giving their children over was because they wanted a better life. And they decided that their better life would not be with having the ideal of that child. And that is really the same thing that an abortion does. It causes that individual, before they decide to have an abortion, to decide if this child will cost their life to be interrupted or their life limited because they will not have a so-called better life. But what they fail to realize that the Bible says that children are a gift from God. And so many women have lost their lives trying to live up to the so-called better life. And they've suffered a lot of sickness and diseases because they kept falling under a moral sex, you know, being caught up in the trend of trying to have a better life by using their body and their souls to cause them to live a better life or to give their children a better life, the ones they've already had. But the Lord does not like, it doesn't say he just don't like, it says he hates it. Okay. Human sacrifice, the shedding of innocent blood, my friend. And I was listening to, maybe it's like 3 weeks ago, there was a pastor who came on, and he was pretty funny. I can't give you his name right now, but I will say this. When he talked about the two harshest judgments that are coming upon the earth due to the COVID and how the Lord is allowing many people to lose their life, to not be able to save their life is because of these two judgments. This is what he was speaking of. And he was saying that one was based on the murdering of innocent people. And he said those who murder people for no reason, who come in and take a life and who rob a person, and they could have just taken their goods, but they decide to kill them. Whichever way they, or whatever reason they go after that person, or they do decide to kill or murder that person, that is one reason why some people will die in a harsh judgment. The other way, he said, is due to the shedding of innocent blood, which both are really murder and abortion are under the same category of shedding of innocent blood. And he was saying the abortion rate has tripled and doubled over the centuries to it is now clear the shedding of innocent blood. It is no longer just under the sin category. It's a practice sin which upgrades it to what we call an iniquity. And so when you look back at the old and ancient gods, you begin to see there is some correlate to that, you know, a connection to how in the days of the Canaanites and the Israelites, they were dealing with these ancient gods, and they were worshiping Baal, and they were also worshiping Moloch, and these were their gods of fertility, and they were people, and they were warned not to follow these idolatry practices. And that is what has happened in this day and time. Many people are still worshiping these types of gods. And they will say, oh no, I don't go to any cult. I'm not a part of any COVID. I'm not practicing any sorcery. But it is the practices, it is the places that they go to. And they may not even be fully aware that if they go to a public place where there's all kinds of statues. I noticed, too, a lot of people flood the casinos, and there's all kinds of games and And a lot of those games are built upon Roman gods or these different ancient gods. And there's people who are faithful to feeding those gods by bringing their money in and trying to find wealth and riches through that. So there is so many ways to get caught into idolatry in this world. And there's people who are wanting to go to places of spirituality, psychics, and all of these kinds of things and counsel with ungodly, or what the Bible says, defiled people, and they are falling under judgment because they have moved themselves out of the realm of being held greater. So we have to pay attention that, you know, when people make sacrifices, they don't always mean that they're small sacrifices. They can be something big. And many women who have, you know, decided to have abortions, and I want to get this clear, you know, after the child, the embryo, has been out of the system or killed, that embryo is going to go somewhere. And the blood that runs out of that woman is from the innocent blood that was shed to murder that child. And that person is never the same, never the same after that incident, because they know they were partakers of shedding innocent blood. They know they did something wrong. Because we, as individuals, we know we are creatures of inhabitants. We understand more than we try to say at times. Most of the time, we're trying to get away around the truth, then go straight through the doors of truth. So we know when we have made a bad choice, and we recognize when we put our hands to evil. But, you know, just like I said, in those days, people had worshipped these different types of gods. And they worshipped these kind of gods. And I'm just going to give you a few scriptures that kind of parallel why a lot of people fall under harsh judgment. When they talk about some of the names of Baal in the scriptures, and Balaam was known under Joshua chapter 11, verse 17, as the Lord of good fortune. Balaam was also known as the Lord of wealth, according to the book of Song of Solomon 11. And Balaam was also, he was like the god of the village, according to Second the village that they went under, the Balaam village, in Second Samuel chapter 13, verse 23. These types of areas that the people, which some of them, you know, they worship at the Philistine city of Ekron. Balaam, you know, had a lot of people, those kinds of people who had flocked to those villages because they wanted good fortune. They wanted wealth. They wanted their lives to be better. So they went and fought these kind of gods. And then, as you heard earlier, they went with possessions and they threw their own children over into fire as a sacrifice. And, you know, it's been going on forever, of course. But we're at a place now, like this, and I want you to take the time to do some research for yourself, because I can't give you every story that's here. But this is one of the demonic roots of the abortions based on, you know, Balaam, these different gods, Moloch, who were considered child sacrifice gods. And these people, or the people in Canaan, you know, they weren't ignorant what they were doing. They knew exactly what they were doing. And still, to this day in time, we have some abortions, and the parents make the decision because they want wealth, they want riches, or they are hurt, or they've been raped, or they are confused. It's many reasons why abortions have skyrocket. And some people are highly in the occultic area. And so they use the shedding of innocent blood as a way, a form, to remove a child that they feel like they can give it over to gain a prestigious life or career. And so one of the demonic roots, you know, to feed under this portion, is the demonic roots of abortion. Jezebel, the non-Israelite wife of King Ahab, is said to have led the northern Israelites in Balaam worship as well as the sacrifice of children. And so, and then what it does is this. Ahaziah is reported to have burned his son as an offering to Baal and Moloch, as did Messiah. So these are some of the examples how, like I was saying, you know, they burn their children, whether it was through, again, like we spoke earlier, in that day and time, they probably did not have, and we know, have not seen by scripture, unless someone has that information, they can feel free to share it with me. But it didn't talk of any clinics, you know, people going in and having children and then getting pregnant. And in other words, a woman getting pregnant and then having an abortion. Yeah, it did talk about women losing their children or being barren, but that is a whole other topic. So, but at this point here, we're talking today in regards to the spirit of abortion. And so you also will look at verse 6, it says, he, Manasseh, cast his son through the fire and practiced divination and omen reading. See? He set up a ritual pit to conjure up underworld spirits and appointed magicians to supervise it. He did a great amount of evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger. Okay? It was believed that human sacrifice to Moloch and Balaam held the key to prosperity. In a singular manner, abortion costs much less than raising a child, plus a no-child policy freed up one's social and recreational life. People designed to live in selfish prosperity and ease brought their firstborn child to the high priest, where the child would be offered as a burning sacrifice to the Baal's deity. Okay? And then we're going to go to the next part. It says the altar of Moloch was in the image of a bull with the head and shoulders of a man. Its arms extended outward and fire belched out from a hole in the chest. The priest of Moses placed the baby's arm outstretched over where the child would be rolled into the fire. As the child died, the priest and the priestess engaged in sexual intercourse while an orgy occurred among the onlookers. This is what we were saying earlier. These were very, very satanic rituals and practices, and people were witnessing this stuff, you know. And so they began to realize that if they wanted to have success and prosperity, this was the way they were going to gain it through these evil practices. So what we also do when we read on, we realize that the Lord did not approve of this, but he allowed it because these people were not going to be accepted, you know, into the kingdom of God because they were idolatry. They were worshiping idolatry. They were idolaters. They didn't care if they were slaughtering their children. They didn't see nothing wrong with it because they thought they were being selfish, as I just read. And they were thinking about their own happiness, their own success. And so I want to read this part as too. It says, the ancients sacrificed their children by fire for personal convenience and gain while engaging in promiscuity. Modern Baal worshippers, abortionists, have slaughtered millions for basically the same reason. There you go. Abortionists care very little for the welfare of the mother. See, when you go to a clinic, they tell you, and I'm just saying, I've seen it, I've heard it, I watched a movie, you know, hey, you know, I understand, trust and believe, okay? Thing is they're going to tell you, oh, this is just a choice, you know, this is a decision, you know, you have to do what's right for you, and so on and so on. I'm pretty sure they have it all in the literature and everything. But what they do not really disclose is that the sacrifice that woman's embryo, innocent embryo, the blood that is shed, it will be used as a sacrifice. Because that is how, if you just think about it, how is it that these companies stay in business for years and years and years? And I'm not going to drop the names of any, but you guys know yourself. If they're all over the world, how they are able to stay in business, okay? But they do not tell you, and this is another part of what I was reading, and I believe this is important because it goes to what I was going to say next. They do not care for the welfare of the mother. They don't tell her that she's going to have increased risk for cancers, for sickness. She's going to be plagued with anxiety. Most women who have had abortions, believe it or not, they are women who have had great anxiety and stress, because their bodies were altered by the tools and instruments that were used in order to perform the abortion. Some of them began to have endometriosis, all types of fibroid tumors. All of these things follow the lines of abortion. To see what happens is when that blood is sacrificed to that God, he has the legal right, people, to then inflict the person who gave that innocent blood. That's why God doesn't want us to. And see, another thing is God doesn't like us to cover it up, you know, because at this point, it's so many people who have engaged into abortions, whether it was something that they willfully tried to partake in, or they may have been raped or molested, but it's still innocent blood, okay? And so it says one ritual they practiced was the sacred orgy. The people would congregate at some location and proceed to drink, you know, blood and engage in promiscuity sex. So it is so important, and because I'm getting ready to go off the air because I'm running out of time, I want you to do your own research, my friend. I want you to take the time to go and do some research when it comes to child sacrifice, okay? And how when people get up into all these kinds of acts, they began to cause a lot of problems. And we today are going to end really right away because we know that God hates the shedding of innocent blood, my friend, and he wants us to be aware that if we are partakers of this kind of behavior, we will suffer a harsh judgment. So I hope and pray you are friends and sisters here on St. Forth Your Word. We'll do your own research. We're getting ready to close out the year 2020. I will be back, if it's God's will, so that I can bring other topics to Send Forth Your Word radio ministry. But I hope today you've gathered enough of information and scriptures to go and do your own research when it comes to the spirit of abortion. And for those who are just tuning into the show, please archive our shows, re-listen to the whole show, and I hope that you continue to stay safe in the times of the end and that you repent of your sins, your iniquity, the iniquities, and all of your transgressions, your fathers, your mothers, four generations of sin. Repent now, my friend. Repent now and be saved. Praise God, and may God richly bless every one of you, is my prayer. Amen, amen, and amen.